Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Welcome to, welcome back. Welcome. I don't know. I never know how to start this thing. Hi, my guest today is Brittany Vest. Brittany is the fitness and wellness blogger and influencer behind the weight loss journey and lifestyle blog and Instagram, Fitty Britty. She transformed her life over 6 years ago by losing over 85 pounds and having skin removal surgery. And she had an amazing transformation, obviously. But I was really interested in her life now and how she got to where she is. Having grown up in an environment where she was always aware of her weight and was being told to lose weight by people that she loved, I didn't grow up in an environment like that. I just had these self-imposed beliefs, I guess, and I was affected by culture and societal norms around me, and I was always tiny, and it still fucked me up, even 20 years later. So if you're going to listen to this episode, I highly suggest you go to her Instagram or her website or both and follow her and poke around, because she really exudes confidence and joy, and she kind of seems to like give zero Fs. I don't want to swear twice in the intro. She also has a lot of experience with how to stay consistent and how to practice, like, quote unquote, wellness without it all being about weight. In fact, at one point in the interview, I didn't stop her or say anything about this, but she said, like, when I was done losing the weight, like very nonchalantly, like it was a finite thing. And I found that so refreshing, because I think so many of us kind of feel like we're never done losing weight, or even if we're not actively trying to, like, it'll always be a goal, right? Or it will be a rewarding thing if it happens. And it was so nice to hear her kind of end that part of her chapter and then shift on to like what her life is now and how she takes care of herself now without the end all be all being losing weight. So I really loved talking to her, and I really was fascinated by her story. And she also has a lot of helpful tips for anybody who might feel like they're stagnant or they don't know where to start or how to start. And she's been there, she's been through it, and she has a lot of advice. So without further ado, Brittany Vest. I'm Arielle Laurie, and this is the Blonde Files podcast, where I talk to experts, influencers, and inspirational people in the world of wellness and beyond. All right, so I'm here with Brittany. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here, and Kennedy is here.
Hello.
I feel like I don't even have to introduce you, really.
I'll pop in when it's necessary.
Like, I think people just assume that you're here, and like, I don't know. Anyway, so I kind of went down a black hole, like, reading your blog. I love your website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I have a website envy. I just got mine redone, and I was like,
oh, I'm in the process of redoing mine right now.
Really?
I really don't like my current one, so thank you. But it's about to be so bomb. I just saw a preview of it, actually, up and, like, running for the first time last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like obsessed, so I can't wait to launch it.
Who did it?
The name of their agency is called Sister Agency.
Oh.
And they're really great. They're like the chillest easygoing, two guys.
Like, nice.
Yeah.
They're two awesome. Guys have the sister agency.
I know, isn't it? It's really funny. I wasn't expecting that either. I got like introduced to them through someone else because I wanted to stay on WordPress and mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to Squarespace. So someone else introduced me and they're like WordPress experts apparently. And I'm like, great. And I was expecting it to be women and it was two guys and they're like the easy, they're like the chillest guys though. They like, I'm like, this is going to be like the girliest project you've ever worked on, I think. And they're like, we're ready.
Oh, love that. That's yeah. amazing. Well, so yeah. So I was like kind of researching your story and yeah. So I know that you said your kind of journey to where you are now started in 2010.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of like rewind and go further back.
Okay.
So where are you from?
So this question's always difficult for me because I'm a military brat.
Oh, you are.
So I was born in Southern California, but I probably lived there for like my first 3 years of life. And then my dad was in the Marines. So we kind of moved every like 3 or 4 years. And I've lived in Arizona, Virginia, North Carolina, Texas. And then like we bounced back and forth between Arizona and Virginia quite a bit. And then I went to college in Virginia, like outside of DC, got a job out there, stayed for a while. And then I made my way back to California. Gosh, it's been 4 years.
So, wow.
Yeah.
I always wonder, like, you hear some people who had that kind of childhood and like were really affected by it, and then other people really weren't at all, and it kind of like makes them more resilient and
yeah.
just strengthens them. So what was that like for you?
I think when I was in it, I wasn't the happiest always. I mean, when I was really young, I think it was fine because my friends were my siblings. I'm the oldest of four. And, you know, like your family is like your friends at that point. But then as I got older, like in high school, that's when it started getting a little rough. Like I had to move so I did my first 2 years of high school in Arizona and then I had to move and go to a new high school on the East Coast in Virginia. And I was like so mad, like not happy at all. But when I look back on the whole experience, it was so good for me because my friend group that I had in Arizona wasn't like the best. And I was like, you know, talking over teachers in class and like being a bad girl. And then I go to the East Coast and everyone's like, have you taken the pre-SATs yet? And like all studious. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was like it was a good thing for me to get to do that. And it kind of like actually led me down the path of like finding graphic design, which was my previous career. And I mean, I'm a big, like, cheesy LA person and believe everything happens for a reason. So I think it was good for me. And it definitely taught me, like, how to make friends anywhere I go and how to, like, adjust and how to be independent. And, you know, it gave me a lot of good life lessons.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read that you were struggling with your weight, right?
Yes.
And your journey with that has kind of gotten you to where you are today. So we'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah.
But I'm curious like what it was like as a kid and being in that environment and then also having this thing, like it seemed like from what I read in your website, at least that like you just weren't really aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time.
I mean, my family definitely made me aware of my weight from a young age. I don't really like, I don't have like a strong memory of my first like experience of being told I was overweight, but I definitely have memories of like my grandpa slapping my hand away from my plate, or like my parents would sit me down like every week and be like, Brittany, you really need to lose weight. You need to be healthy. Like you can't, you know, snack all the time when you get home from school, and you can't, you know, all the things that my siblings were doing, but they weren't having like the same issues with their weight. But it's funny because through, you know, this journey, I like actually like called my mom up not too long ago and was like, Mom, like, was I really like overweight like ever since I was born? Was I like when did it really happen? Because I don't remember. And she was saying that, I mean, when I was born, I wasn't overweight. I was like 7 pounds, 6 ounces. That's a pretty like normal, healthy baby weight. But she said she remembers when she took me to the doctor, like, when I started drinking like regular milk or whatever, I think back then told kids to have like whole milk or 2% or something. And the doctor told her that I was too high, my weight was too high, and that I need to go on skim milk. So like that right there, like however old I was probably a toddler. I was being put on technically my first diet by switching me to like a skim milk, which is so crazy to think about. But I think genetics play a big role in my certain situation. And then I think I just really love food, and I still love food a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also think I love my parents so much, but they were both busy. My mom was a full-time teacher when I was growing up. My dad was gone a lot. And we ate out a lot. There was a lot of fast food. There was a lot of, like, if we did cook, if my mom cooked, it was like things like this, like, taco pie thing that definitely had like an entire bag of Doritos in it. I was like, not healthy at all. So, you know, over the years, she definitely like did better and like would cook like healthier things. But when we were young, it was just like whatever we would eat, you know, type of thing, and whatever she could like go get, or, you know, it's hard when you're basically a single mom and raising however many kids. And I mean, I can barely take care of myself, and I have no other responsibilities right now. So I can't imagine. But I think there was a lot of like things playing into it. But I definitely think genetics was like a big part of it. Both my parents had struggled with their weight growing up. And yeah, it was just an unfortunate, like, bad mix of things. But kind of like you said, like, it's gotten me where I am today. So in a way, I'm like very grateful for the whole process.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're talking about genetics, because I think so many people don't talk about it. And like, we're in this, like, I don't know, people ask me like what I do for like thin legs or something like that. Yeah. Or like, and I'm like, it's genetic. Like, mm-hmm. the women in my family are small. And like, I feel like, especially with social media now, everybody wants to look like somebody else. Yeah. And it's like, so much of it is out of our control. Like, yeah, we can take care of ourselves, but like the girl with the big thigh gap, like, that's genetic.
Yeah.
Or it's lipo.
It really is. Or it's Photoshop.
Yeah. And it's other. And like, we blame people who are like, who are not like society's standard. Yeah. Like, oh, it's like a thing of willpower, when really, mm-hmm. like, that's not the case.
Yeah. So I agree.
Yeah. So when did you kind of become aware, like,
I think when I remember I would go to Weight Watchers with my mom when I was little, for sure. I don't think back then you couldn't like sign your kid up for Weight Watchers. I think now you can, though, which is really sad. But
I heard recently that like there's a new app.
Yeah,
or something.
Weight Watchers for kids.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
It's literally Weight Watchers for kids.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
It like made me cry when it came out. I was like so upset about it. And like, I found out about it through like another one of my friends in the Instagram world. And I was just like, I can't believe this is like a thing now. But then I started thinking about my past, and I was like, I can believe it is a thing, even though it's like, it's, I don't know. There's definitely two sides to the story. It makes me sad for young 8-year-olds, because that's like the minimum age, I think, that you can be to sign up for the app. Like, that's so
like
young.
Before you're allowed to have a phone, you can have the Weight Watchers
and
app.
Like, your brain is developing and you're going to create those pathways.
Oh my gosh, I 100% agree with that. And there was this interesting article when all that came out, this woman, I can't remember her name right now, but I'll have to find the post for you, because it was super interesting. And she was talking about how when parents or anyone is talking to a child about their weight, it creates stress around their body, around food, around everything in their lives. And that those conversations that create the stress are actually what's making the person hold on to weight more than like the food they're intaking or the exercise they're doing or not doing.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, like, I always wondered what would have happened if my parents just like let me live my life and like provided healthy food for me. I was very active. I played soccer. I swam year round. I played the violin. Like, I literally was doing something all the time. And I just always think, like, I wonder if like they hadn't focused so much and told, like, talked to me so much about my weight and how to get healthy, by like offering to pay me, by the way, like, not actually giving me tools, but just being like, if you lose weight, yeah, like, we'll pay you money or whatever, or buy you, you know, things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they weren't actually like giving me tools to work with to learn how to be healthy. And you know, at 8 years old, you're depending on your parents, right? To provide like food and everything else. So, and or your school providing lunch, and that's a whole nother crazy topic because school food is not healthy. So it's, there's a lot of, you know, things. But I definitely remember going with my mom to Weight Watchers meetings. I would go with my mom to Jazzercise back in the day. We would go on walks. Like, they, it was like they were trying, she was trying to teach me what she had learned, right? But, you know, in the 90s when we were growing up, it was low fat, it was low sugar, it was like all these fake things to put in your body to help you lose weight. But like, it's, and you know, now it's, people talk about how real food is like nourishing, and I obviously agree a lot with that. But yeah, so basically from like 8 years on, it has been a conversation about my weight and about how I need to lose weight so that I'm healthy. They did always phrase it as like healthy and not like so you can fit in or so you can wear smaller clothes or, you know, anything like that. But I do have like memories of dress shopping for like prom or any dances, or graduation, of like my mom being like, well, you know, like it would be easier if like you did were smaller so you could fit into the clothes, in a way, like where I would be crying in a dressing room because like the size 12 didn't fit me, or that I was like having to shop like in the old women's department instead of the juniors. Yeah, I think, I don't know if that answered your question.
But. Yeah, no. And even though our stories are very different, like I can still relate to being aware of my weight. Like I remember when I became aware of it, and I mean, I struggled with eating disorders, and I didn't have, I didn't struggle with the same issues as you, but there were things that happened in my life that created a feeling of shame around eating. So I remember, like, instead of just eating like a normal teenager, like, I would feel ashamed and I would try to hide it. And that stays with you. And like it, and yeah, I'm sure it has some kind of like biological effect when you're eating. Yeah. Same with, like, I talk about it all the time, but with like food sensitivities, like if you're going out and you're like, oh my God, is there gluten in there? I'm going to, like, if there's gluten in there, I'm going to get so sick and blah, blah, blah. And then you eat it and you have a reaction. It's like, it's, so much of that is mental.
Yeah, you're totally in that created headspace. It.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, so you went to college, right? And that's disruptive for all of us.
Oh my God,
yes. Of lifestyle.
College was so, like, it just, I mean, first of all, you're thrown into this situation where you don't know anyone, typically. Yeah. I didn't know anyone when I went off to college. And you're living, you know, for the first time by yourself, although I was living in a room with four other girls my freshman year, which I chose to do, I'm like, what the heck? But it was fun. But yeah, like, I remember my parents made me have the meal plan on campus.
Oh, I had that too.
And it was just like the food on college campuses. I mean, maybe hopefully it's gotten better, but like we had a Chick-fil-A on our campus. We had like Burger King, you know, fast food. And we also had like a cafeteria that, and we would, me and my friends would go. And of course I made friends with all the other girls who loved to eat, but didn't like gain any weight. So that was interesting. But it was the first time I kind of was like making my own food decisions, I guess, and definitely was eating lots of like dessert.
And they're not setting you up for success
No, there was nothing like even, and if you eat a salad, it's like it wasn't like there was healthy salad options. Right. Like the lettuce was like basically white, you know, like there's no nutrients in it. And you're putting like ranch on it and bacon or something. Like, I don't even know. Like, not anything healthy.
It's all been sitting out for like hours too. It's just, no.
Yeah.
My dorm was right across from like a food hall that had like Taco Bell, McDonald's, Burger King, some like Asian thing that was just not, I mean, it was all fast food.
Yeah.
And that was all I ate.
We had a soft serve machine that was like 24 hours.
Nice.
It was like the worst. It was the worst forever. Like, I come home from like Friday night and just everyone's in line for the soft serve. It was so funny.
So when was your breaking point? I mean, you got through college, you were working. Like, when did it suddenly click?
I definitely like put on even more weight when I was in college because I stopped working out as well. I was on the swim team in high school. So I was pretty like active in high school, but as soon as I went to college, I did not work out at all. So no working out, eating really bad, drinking, etc. We had a really late night like place called Ike's that was open 24 hours too that we would go to. So all that obviously led to more weight gain. I mean, the most exercise I did was like walking up the hill to class and down and then dancing at parties. That counts. And yeah, so after college, I was like in this on again, off again relationship. I was like back with him at this point. I was like working this job. I wanted to move to New York City. I wanted to pursue like the magazine world and be a graphic designer at a magazine. And I kind of like ended up taking a really boring, high paying job instead. And so I was at this really boring job working for the government as a graphic designer. And I like was barely doing anything. I was just like sitting there all the time, not doing anything. And anyway, so I would often like go and see this guy, like he lived like an hour away. And I remember the transition out of college to into the work world was also very confusing. Mm-hmm. It was like, I still didn't want to work out. I was eating even worse. I was like going and getting Chipotle all the time, but not like healthy Chipotle, like extra cheese Chipotle, like tortilla on the side, right. You know, like nothing good there. And that was happening multiple times a week because I was like too tired to cook. And I didn't know what to cook or like, all those life skills were like taught to me, but it wasn't taught to me in a way of like, this is how you like transition into this lifestyle.
I don't think anybody
no
has
one knows that.
Those skills. I mean, it's one thing to learn it and then it's another thing to like be going through it and actually know how to apply it.
Exactly. So
especially when you have the choice, it's like this or like the easy way or this.
Yeah. And I had the money. I was like, oh, it's not like I don't have the money to go out for dinner, go out and get happy hour or whatever. So anyways, I was gaining more weight basically. And I went down to see this guy and we would eat a lot. He was also overweight, by the way. And we were like together in his car driving like after eating or going to eat or something. And he like turns to me and tells me like he thinks I need to lose weight. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you have some nerve. I didn't say this. Like, I was like in shock. Like, I just was like mouth open, crying. Like, I couldn't believe it. He was the one person like at the time who had never like brought my weight up. It was never an issue. He always told me I was beautiful, blah, 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 blah. And then like things had changed. And so I was just in shock. I was upset. We like obviously like we were in a car together. So I think we had some sort of conversation about it. And then I think I left and like I remember driving home crying. I got pulled over because I was like speeding. I was like, my boyfriend just called me fat.
I hope you didn't get a ticket.
I think I did. It was just like the worst. No. Like, you know, like the absolute worst day, right? And so I finally get home. I'm definitely like still crying, like go to sleep. I probably like, I don't know. I think I like pouted about it for a couple days. And then one day it's like I woke up and like the switch in my head had gone off. I think a lot of it, I'm very competitive. And I think a lot of it was like, no way is he going to tell me that and get away with it. Like, I'm going to get revenge. Like, I'm going to like, quote unquote, have my revenge body. So, yeah, it was like the switch had gone off. And like I said, I had gone to Weight Watchers so many times before with my mom. So I just kind of like decided I was going to go to Weight Watchers. I was going to go in person. And I remember going over to my mom's house. She like, they lived like 15 minutes from me at that time. And I was like, Mom, I'm starting Weight Watchers. I'm going on Thursday to the meeting. And it was the weekend. And she was like, okay, like, let's start the diet though on Monday. And I was like, no, Mom, I already started. Like, I already am started. And she was like, okay, like, I'll go to the meetings with you. But I'm not going to start till Monday. And I was like, okay, well, I'm starting. And I don't even remember, but I was just like so stubborn about it and so dead set that that was what I was going to do. And then I went on Thursday and went to my meeting and signed up and paid. And typically my parents had paid for me to like go do Weight Watchers before. But finally I was like, no, I'm paying. I want to do this. It was like very this like thing that I was going to do for myself. And no one else had, well, besides the ex-boyfriend was influencing me to do it. And yeah, so I like found a meeting on Thursdays that I loved. I found a meeting leader who was like my long lost grandma. She was the sweetest woman ever. And it was just like the same people were always there. It was a very supportive, like, place where it felt like you, like everyone in the room, like understood, right? Where you, what was going on or how you felt or the struggle with food or like not being able to want to work out or whatever it was, everyone kind of like had this like common thread. So it felt very good and very like the right thing for me. And yeah, so I did Weight Watchers every Thursday. I would go to the meetings. I did that for like probably the first like 3 months. And then as I started in, I think I said August, and that year in January, they switched like the program changed, the rules changed, and they made like fruits and vegetables 0 points. And I remember like reaching kind of like my first plateau. And because I started eating a ton of fruit, which is healthy, but it also is loaded up in sugar. So my body wasn't responding anymore. And so I went to the gym for the first time, and I joined the gym, I hired a personal trainer. My friend, one of my like best friends at the time, was like working out with me. And he was my personal trainer. It was like, thinking back about it, it is crazy because I was very resistant. I did not want to work out. We would yell at each other at the gym. We would get in fights. I'd scream at him that I wasn't going to do something. He'd be like, "You're doing it. Pick the weight up." Like it was embarrassing. But you know,
Have you seen Revenge Body?
I haven't.
The show. I saw like one episode was on when I was maybe working out or something. Yeah. And that's what the girl was doing. Yeah. And I was like, that's so bad. She's like screaming at the trainer.
My God. I would not want to see myself on TV back then. It would have been just like that. But yeah, I was just really resistant. I like didn't find joy in working out. Like I just felt like it was torture. I felt like it was, you know, a punishment for like me being overweight. And I just couldn't like find the joy in fitness. But I kept going because, again, I'm stubborn. And eventually I started liking it a lot more, and I started seeing changes in my body, and people would come up to me at the gym and being like, "Wow, like I've really noticed a change in your shape of your body, and like you've been working so hard, like good job." And, you know, like I was getting like this like positive feedback. I was getting like great feedback at Weight Watchers. The scale was going down. So I just kind of started liking and looking forward to my workouts. And at the time I was working this boring job. And so I'd literally wake up, make my meals, take them. I'd go to work. I'd leave work right as soon as I could. I'd drive straight to the gym. I'd work out for like an hour and a half. And I'd like go home, eat a quick dinner, shower, and like repeat. Like every single day, 6 days out of the week, I was doing that. So
for somebody who might be listening and like struggling getting started,
yeah,
it sounds like you were just like, you had this resolve that like you were just gonna do it.
Yep.
And I can't relate with the eating stuff, but like I've been sober for 5.5 years. Yeah. And like very different story again, but like I was pretty much like struck sober and like that was it.
Yeah.
And I have a group also that's supportive. Yeah. And you know, we speak the same language and it's so helpful. So it seems like the nutrition piece for you, or the eating piece, came a little more naturally.
Yeah, it was like the easier part for me to comprehend on how to change.
So were there do you have any tips for anybody who's listening who might be like struggling with that part?
So I think the best thing to do when you want to change your lifestyle is to pick something kind of like how I did and kind of focus on that and like adjust that into your life. Like we were saying earlier, it changing your life and doing something in a split second like that, whether it's going to college, whether it's going from college to your career, it's hard. So pick something that you want to change first and then adjust that into your life. Add that in. So for me, it was nutrition, and that had everything to do with like I was tracking, I was measuring my food, I was, you know, I was more conscious, I was thinking about it all the time, until like I was able to kind of seamlessly like come into a routine with my nutrition and feel good in that place. And then I finally, like I said, I plateaued. And so I was like, okay, well, I can't get away now with not working out. Like I have to start working out if I want to continue. Mm-hmm. And so that was like my only option. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to have to add in the fitness component. And so that was like the next thing. And then like I always talk about too, you know, when I actually lost weight, those are the two components I actually tackled. But when I was done losing weight, I started tackling a lot of other things, like how to add, you know, like supplements into my life that were helping me, how to clean up my diet, how to live my life more mindfully, how to, you know, like keep my house organized, how to like the complete like 360 view of living a healthy lifestyle. Like I started tackling those things and I'm still working on them. I'm 100% not perfect. Like for anyone listening, I don't want you to like think that at all. And again, my journey has been going on for 10 years and I don't think it's ever over. I think it's just evolving and we're growing and things are changing and we're adapting.
Yeah. And that's so important because I think I'm sure you have people reach out to you all the time. And I think people want to change. They want to change their life and they want to do everything at once mm-hmm. and do like a drastic overhaul. And maybe for some people that works. But I always try to tell people like pick one thing, like start with one thing, even like I think diet and exercise are probably equally important, although I tend to lean more towards nutrition.
Yeah.
Because if your nutrition is fucked, it doesn't matter
what
the exercise
exactly
is. But like, don't even start with both of those. Like just, you know, start with taking walks or start with, you know, doing whatever diet wise. So I think that's really good advice for people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also tell people who are starting to pick something that they can stay consistent with.
Right.
Right. Because consistency is actually the reason you're going to see change and growth. So you can't just, you know, eat healthy for one day and expect changes. Mm-hmm. Or you can't work out just for one day and expect a change. It's like doing it over and over again and staying consistent is what helps too.
Yeah. How did you have motivation? I mean, I'm sure there were times when...
Yeah. I mean, my motivation, that's a question I get literally all the time. And it's funny because I always tell people I go through waves of motivation. You know, during my weight loss, I definitely had blinders on. I was ultra motivated. Like I tell people I could never get back to that brain state. Like if I tried, I don't think it was just my brain was in a different universe where I could say no to anything. I had like willpower that was crazy. I, you know, I just was like so focused on the goal and my weight that I could not see anything else other than that entire time. And now my motivation comes from just not necessarily wanting to go back to how I lived, you know, before. Like I worked really hard to get where I am today. And so I never want to completely like give up anything and give up my hard work and all the time I've put into myself. And so that's one of my big motivators. My other motivator is just, I don't feel like 100% motivated every day. But my community and the people, my friends that I have in my life are very big motivators for me because they're all living a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, if I don't feel like working out one day, and I can call up one of my friends and be like, let's go for a walk today and still be do something active and fun. Or they'll be like, hey, I actually signed up for yoga today. Do you want to join me? And then I'll be like, okay, yeah, like that sounds fun. So knowing that there's not going to be like this constant state of motivation, but and knowing that there's going to be ebbs and flows. And like for me right now, like I'm in a state where I like don't even have a workout routine. Like I am so busy running around doing a million things like we all are that I can't even commit to a routine because I'm just hustling away working and you know and so and I know and I'm okay with that. Like in my past I would not have been okay with that. I would have done everything in my power to still get six workouts in a week. I would have been dragging myself into the ground. So you have to kind of look at your situation and do the best you can do with what everything else is going on like in your life. You have to say like, is my workout gonna benefit me or drive me crazy, and is it feasible to do? And then if you're not motivated at all to work out, like finding ways that you or things that you love to do that don't feel like working out and like food that you love to eat that doesn't feel like you're forcing yourself to eat it just because you know it's healthy. There's so many great recipes and different types of workouts and things that you can do that can be fun and that you'll look forward to. So it'll be a lot easier.
That's such good advice. Like, preach.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
100%.
So, can you tell us a little bit about Fitty Britty and the Confident Collective and everything that you're doing now?
Yes. So, Fitty Britty was created about 5 years ago. I had already lost all my weight. I had had my extra skin removed. And I was, like, at this place where I just still felt like I wasn't going to Weight Watchers meetings anymore. I had felt like I figured out how to be balanced and healthy and, you know, all the things. And I really wasn't. I was tipping back into this state of, like, what I felt like before. And I wasn't really happy. I saw a photo of myself and I couldn't stop looking at my arm. And I was like, wow, like, I've just let myself go. Like, I can't believe this. What am I doing? I've worked so hard. And I was having trouble staying motivated. I was having trouble because my friends at the time were, you know, we were in our young 20s. We were going out. We were eating and drinking a lot still. None of my close friends at the time had struggled with their weight. And so I was feeling kind of alone. And I didn't want to go back to that restrictive state of like, oh, I can't be social. I can't, you know, enjoy my life as a young 20-something year old. And I wanted to figure it out. So I started Fitty Britty literally on a whim. I do nothing on whims, which is so weird. I usually ask, like, everyone I know, like, do you think this is a good idea? Do you like this name? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, nope, I'm just going to do this. I didn't tell anyone about it for a while. And I used it as a place to keep me motivated. It was my journal, my diary, but it was open to the public. And I was wanting to connect with other women who had been through either a major weight loss or who were going through that, and who I could just, like, see what they were going through and know that, like, we were going through the same things, because I felt like I was, like, the only one that I knew who was struggling. So it was just, like, the best decision I've probably ever made was to start Fitty Britty. And slowly over time, like, I told my friends and family about it, and they were, of course, very supportive and, you know, all the things. And it just kind of grew very organically. I was sharing my transformation story, so my weight loss story, on Tuesdays. I think I shared my transformation story every single Tuesday for probably 3.5 years.
Wow.
And then I kind of started just, like, not relating to it as much myself, because I really wasn't losing weight anymore. And I just wanted to pull away from this just obsession with losing weight, because that's what we all know. That's what we grew up with. My mom, love her, she's still trying to lose 5 pounds. I'm like, what are you doing, lady? You don't need to lose weight. Just be healthy. Like, right. Live a healthy life.
Yeah.
And so I just.
And, like, those last 5 pounds or just those 5 pounds are usually, like, the fun pounds.
They're
the
your
dinners
life.
With friends and the, like.
Memories.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh, I completely agree. So I just didn't want to be like that. And so I kind of transitioned away from this focus of weight loss on my page and went more towards lifestyle and balance and how to find confidence and love yourself how you are. And this whole, you know, the body confidence movement was really on the rise, and it was just, like, great timing. And I was just, everything kept growing. And, you know, now it's my page is, it's health and wellness focused, but it's definitely more lifestyle. And it's my full-time gig. And it's just really cool to be able to, you know, motivate and inspire women and help them love their bodies and feel less alone and, you know, everything. And I've even, like, done a lot more fashion stuff on my page now, and it's going over really well too. And I never thought, like, I would be a quote unquote fashion blogger, but, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to do, like, what I love, because I do love fashion, and be able to, like, do my spin on it. Fitty Britty has been amazing.
How do you avoid the comparison trap on Instagram?
Okay, this is a good question. I think, so before I moved to LA, about 4 years ago, I'd had Fitty Britty for about a year at that time when I moved here. And I did not have any friends who had Instagrams, really. Like, they had their personal Instagram, but no one was, like, that I knew was really using their Instagram for, like, this public thing. And I started making friends in the industry, in, like, the blogging world and in, like, the fitness industry. And all of them would sit around and, like, complain and compare. And I was like, whoa, like, I never even knew what, like, engagement meant, or, like, what any of this meant. Like, I didn't realize it. I didn't even realize, like, it could be my job one day. And so it was, like, very eye-opening for me to hear, like, all these other girls talking about this. And so I got caught in that, too, because I was around it all the time. And so I found myself constantly thinking, oh, well, she's doing this and getting this many likes and getting, you know, these jobs. And, like, why am I not getting this stuff? And I definitely got in that trap for a couple months of me just, like, feeling like I wasn't doing the right things or I was never doing something good enough. And then again, one day I was just kind of like, this is crazy. Like, I can't live like this. And I don't think anyone should live like that. I wasn't necessarily like comparing myself like to other girls and their looks, which I know a lot of women tend to do that. But I follow people. I really curate my feed. So when I open Instagram, I don't see anything that triggers me. I don't see anything that makes me think less of myself. And if I do, I unfollow it or unfollow the person because we have that power. That's the one thing on Instagram we have power over is who we follow. Yeah. So I think every woman or listener needs to take that into their hands and use that power for good for themselves. And if you find yourself comparing yourself to someone, it's just ridiculous. And also, Instagram is literally one little blip in our lives. Like, you know, there's so much that I share, but there's also so much I don't share just because I am enjoying my life and don't have a camera attached to me at all times. Yeah. So
again, preach. Yeah, I like that. I can't sympathize with people who complain about certain things on Instagram because you're right. Like, we do control what we see. Just don't go on the explore page.
Yeah.
That's the place of like misery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the Confidence Collective.
So, the Confidence Collective is something that I just started with two of my best friends, Rayanne and Christina. And, you know, it's funny because we've been friends. We all met kind of separately and then they met too. And then we all kind of started like seeing each other at the same things and hanging out. And Rayanne actually DM'd me. She slid right into my DMs and we hung out. She interviewed me for her blog and we were like sitting across from each other and like, I was like, are you me? Just younger. And she was like, are you me but older? And I was like, I think so. So we were friends basically from the start. And I met Christina at an event. And anyways, so we had been friends for a while and we each kind of had talked to each other about like this idea of wanting to create this community off of Instagram and in real life. And I wanted to start doing retreats and a lot of people had told me like, oh, you would do amazing retreats. And I was, you know, I've been trying to think, okay, how can I like build something off of Instagram in case Instagram goes away tomorrow? And so we had been, you know, talking about this for a while. And then one day we were like, you know what? We should just do this together. Like, this will be so much easier for us to all do together versus separate. We all have the same mission. We all have amazing communities of women that are like-minded, and this would be really powerful to do it together. And oh my God, I'm so happy we did it together. Woo, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to have another brand and to build something from the beginning, but it's also so much fun. Like, watching the Instagram grow is like so fun. And watching like doing our first event, we had our launch event last month. We had a fun like boxing class. So anyways, the Confident Collective is basically a community of women that we get together and we go to workout classes. We're going to be doing some body positive workshops coming up that are going to be like half day workshops. We're planning some retreats for next year. And we're going to hopefully have a podcast very soon too. Yeah, we'll have to have you come on.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of aspects to it and we want to be able to like reach people everywhere. And that's why we are kind of going to offer many different things. But, you know, our goal with this is to just help women love themselves more, feel more confident, whether that's in their bodies, in their jobs, in their relationships, in their lives. Confidence is, you know, it's something that, like, I think can come out of someone, right? If someone's like, oh, I'm not confident, I never think I can be confident, I don't agree with that. I think it's one, all your mental state, and two, for example, with your body, if you're self-conscious in, you know, your clothes, well, okay, let's find something that makes you feel amazing, and you're standing up tall, and you just can't stop looking at yourself, and there you go, you've just become confident. And it literally just, I know that sounds so silly, your clothes, but it can be something as simple as that, that can really change a woman's mind about how she sees herself. Because that's really all it is. It's how we see ourselves when we're looking at ourselves in a mirror, or we see ourselves in a picture. How can we, you know, change that conversation, that so that we can find something positive about ourselves, even on our, like, worst days?
Yeah, I love that. And usually, like, I know for me at least, like, what I see in the mirror could be the exact same thing one day to the next. And one day I could be feeling really down on myself, or, you know, whatever, and I can see something completely different.
It's crazy.
So yeah, I love that. And there's nothing more attractive than confidence, right?
Yeah.
Like,
agree.
You could have the most beautiful person, you know, by society's standards, and they could lack confidence. And then you could have somebody, I don't want to say not, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I don't know. I think personally, people who exude confidence are just so attractive.
Agreed. So, yeah. Agreed.
And you do. I mean, I'm like, you're so attractive.
Thank you.
No, but like, you look amazing, obviously, but like, that's not what it's about. Like, you like exude this light, and it's like so clear that, like, yeah, you had this physical journey, but it also, you had a mental journey too.
Yeah.
And like, you just seem so strong, and like, you're so inspiring.
Thank you.
And for a lot of other people. So I'm excited to see what you guys do with it.
Yeah. We're really excited about it.
Well, where can everybody find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Fitty Britty, 2 T's in Fitty and 4 in Britty. And I know it's annoying. And then my website's fittybritty.com. And The Confident Collective is at The Confident Collective on Instagram and theconfidentcollective.com. And yeah, I'm on Facebook as well, but not very active over there.